Well, open your Bibles again to guess where? Psalm 23. We're heading in the home stretch. We've got just 3 weeks left in this series, and we're going to wrap that up. And I pray that this has been a real encouragement, a real blessing to you as we've gone through this very precious part of God's Word together over the last number of weeks. Psalm 23, we have gotten up through verse 4. And so far, we've looked at where David has said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." That's where we ended last week. Now today we pick up with verse 5. David says, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." Isn't it wonderful to be invited to somebody's house for dinner, and you go there, you ring the doorbell, and they open the door, and you're greeted with these smiling faces and the smell of wonderful food, and they're opening their home to you, and it's obvious that for hours before you got there, they've been doing what? They've been preparing for you to come. And it's just a great feeling to know that someone thinks enough of you and cares enough about you that they would go to that much trouble to prepare a table for you. The language in this verse here may seem strange to us because remember, I've told you that this psalm is being written by a sheep, talking about his shepherd. And the sheep says, "He prepares a table for me." Kind of an odd picture for us to try to think about sheep sitting up at a dinner table using fine china. That's obviously not what he's talking about, so it must be something else. What does he mean, a table? Well, again, here's the thing. If you and I had lived in Bible times and we heard that verse read to us, we would know instantly what he was talking about. Back then, when a shepherd was getting ready to move his sheep at the beginning of summertime onto richer pasture lands, the shepherds would take their sheep from the lowlands and they would begin to walk them and lead them up the mountains to plateaus on those mountains on the higher elevations called tablelands. Spanish word is mesa, is that right? Tablelands. And what David is saying here in this psalm is that the Lord has gone ahead of me and he has prepared the tableland for us. Every summer, the shepherd would leave his sheep and he would trek up the mountain ahead of the sheep. And he would go to the tableland where he was going to lead his flock, and he would begin to prepare the land for their arrival. He would look around and get rid of any poisonous weeds that he happened to see. He would look for animal tracks in that area, footprints, spores, anything that he could find that might give him some indication that there were dangerous animals in this area. He would look for snake holes in the ground, and they had a technique they would use where they would pour animal fat in there and set fire to it and drive the snakes out and kill the snakes. He would make sure that there was plenty of food, plenty of fresh water, long before his sheep arrived. Now here's the key. The shepherd would go before the sheep ever got there, and he would prepare the table for their arrival. The picture here is that God goes before us as his sheep, And he prepares the place to which he is going to lead us. I don't know if that makes anybody want to shout hallelujah, but it does me. The shepherd goes ahead of us to the place that he knows he is going to lead us, and he prepares the way. What an incredible thought for me, hopefully for you, to know that we will never walk anywhere in this life that the shepherd has not already been. When the Lord calls you to follow him, wherever that road may lead you, you can rest assured of one thing. He's already been there. And he's already prepared the way. We see this throughout Scripture, throughout the Bible. God going before and preparing the way for those he's called to follow him. I think of Abraham. When God called Abraham to sacrifice his only son, the Bible says Abraham got up early the next morning and began the journey with his son, with the firewood, to the place that God had told him to go. Abraham didn't realize that God had already prepared a ram for the sacrifice. He just wanted to see if Abraham was willing to go. I think of Jonah. Jonah was doing the opposite. He was running from God, thinking he was going to get away, but he didn't know that God had prepared a storm and that God had prepared a fish for Jonah. Long before Jonah got there, God had already gone before him. Hey, even in our disobedience, God cares enough to go ahead of us and make a way for us to come back. That wasn't even in my notes. That just hit me like a bolt of lightning. My goodness. Isn't that incredible to think that we, in our stubbornness sometimes, we run from God and God is already a mile and a half down the road ahead of us saying, pal, listen, when you turn this corner, you're going to meet with a serious collision. It's going to be a head-on, but you're going to be brought back to me because I care enough to go ahead of you and prepare the way. I think of the two spies who were sent into the land. They were terrified about going in. They didn't know what awaited them, but God had prepared, of all things, a prostitute named Rahab to hide them from the enemy. I think about Elijah. God told him to go out into the middle of nowhere, out to this little brook. Elijah had no idea what was going to happen next. God had already gone ahead of him and prepared ravens to bring him food. And when God moved him on from there into a city where there had been a 3-year drought, there was no food left, God had already prepared a little widow lady to meet him on the way to provide food for him. Our shepherd goes before us to prepare the way. But I want to tell you, God doesn't just go ahead of people and prepare the way for them, for the people in Bible times. You know how sometimes we read the Bible and we completely detach ourselves from the stories in the Bible? It's like, well, God did that for them because they're Bible characters. No, they're not. They're just average, everyday Joes like you and me. They just happen to end up in the Bible story. God doesn't just prepare the way for people in the Bible. God doesn't just prepare the way for so-called giants of the faith. God doesn't just prepare the way for the D.L. Moody's and the Charles Finney's and the Andrew Murray's. God prepares the way for you and for me. I wish I had time this morning to just take an hour and share with you from our own life experiences how God has gone ahead of us as a family to prepare the way. Every time. I keep waiting for him to drop the ball and say, Phil, woo, I'm sorry, I missed that one. I was over here doing something, and you caught me off guard. I'm sorry I wasn't there for you. It has never happened. In 1961, when my dad, hobbling on his crutches, left for the mission field in Australia, and believe me, back then Australia was no vacation spot. Nobody went to Australia back then. It was a dump. And we were called there as missionaries. And all the people said, Randy, don't go. You're making a big mistake. You're not healthy enough to do this. Dad said, God's called us. We're going. He will provide. And we didn't go under some huge mission board with a steady monthly income and a big retirement. We just went. There were little churches here and there who said, we'll help you if we can. And we got there, and I mean, time after time after time, we saw God had gone ahead of us, and he had prepared the way. I remember one time our family was down to, I know this sounds like a typical missionary story, but it's the truth. We were down to peanut butter sandwiches for 2 weeks. Now, I like peanut butter, and I can eat it for about a day and a half, but after that, you know, you start talking funny after that. And then that ran out, and it was a Wednesday night, sitting at the table. Dad said, let's thank the Lord for his provision. And we prayed, and we went to the Wednesday night service, and when we came home, our kitchen cabinets and refrigerator were stocked to overflowing with groceries. We still have no idea to this day who did it. God prepared the way, story after story after story. Then God called our family to leave there and go to South Africa to the mission field. Again, people said, you're making a mistake. You don't know anybody there. This is not going to turn out well. We left. We went over. We arrived in Cape Town, this ragged little family, not really having a clue of how this was going to work out, other than that God had called us to Johannesburg, which is many miles north of Cape Town. We sailed into Cape Town Harbor. We got off. We were in a little hotel lobby there, and a man came up to us and began talking to my father, struck up a conversation with him, and found out that this man was a believer. And the guy said, well, what are you doing here in Cape Town? My dad told him the story. He said, we're on our way to Johannesburg. He said, do you have a place to stay? My dad said, no, not yet. The man said, well, my wife and I are down here on vacation for 2 weeks. We found out that he was dying of a lung disease from working in the mines there in South Africa, and he was sort of taking one last vacation to be with his wife. This man, who we had never seen before, said, here are the keys to my house in Johannesburg. I'll write down the directions for you. I'll call the neighbors ahead and let them know that you're coming. You go and stay in our house. The freezer's stocked with food. It's yours. Help yourself. He said, you can even stay there after we get back if you need to. We got in the car with a total stranger's house keys, drove hundreds of miles north, stayed in his house for 2 weeks. He called and told us they were on their way back a couple weeks later. And my dad had been making calls during this time to put some feelers out and see where God wanted us to go. And right as these folks were about to come home, Dad said, look, we can't be in this man's house. He's dying. We need to get out of here, and we need to move on. And we prayed. God had already gone ahead of us to prepare the way. We got a call from a pastor there in town who said, look, I don't know if you're interested in this, but there's a missionary family here in Johannesburg who's leaving for about a month, and they need someone to house sit for them. Would you be interested? We'll be right over. And over we went. Just as that family was coming home, we exited and went to this missionary's house for about a month. When they were returning home, we knew we needed to find a place. We'd been looking. We could only find one place that we could afford. It was $140 a month. Can you imagine such a house payment? It was a house for rent for $140 a month. My dad recalls that we had $40 left. And the next day when we woke up, an envelope had been slid under the front door. We opened it up. There was $100 in it, enough to pay the first month's rent on that house. Folks, time after time after time, we saw that God had gone ahead of us to prepare the way. There are families in this church who've told me very similar stories of how they've followed God, they've gone where He has asked, and they didn't know till they got there how much God had been preparing the way for them. I think about just in recent years how God, shall I say, called me out of the business world or dragged me out of the business world. I'm not sure which one. And I remember talking to Sandy about this. I remember talking to God about it and saying, Lord, look, I don't mean to be a man of little faith, but frankly, I don't see how this is going to work out. But I will obey you anyway, and I'll follow you where you're leading. Well, just weeks after that, we got a phone call from a missionary family who we knew in South Africa, who I had not talked to in 10 years. He just happened to call me. And he said, hey, we're passing through Greenville next week. Like to have lunch with you. Sandy and I met him over here at California Dreamin'. We sat and had lunch for about 3 hours and talked and had the best time ever. And then they left. A couple weeks later, he contacted me and said, hey, got something I'd like to ask you. Would you meet us for dinner? We met them for dinner, and he said, I'd like you and Sandy to pray about moving to Lawrenceville to help us start a church. I said, Lord, is this it? Is this what you want us to do? We put our house on the market, tried to sell it, didn't sell the house for 2 years. If you've ever had your house on the market for 2 years with two little kids, you know life is tough. That's not a good time in life. But we traveled every weekend back and forth to Lawrenceville to help get that church started. I had no idea what God was doing. But I see now that God went ahead of me and took me through that experience in Georgia to prepare me for this. He went ahead of me and prepared the way. If He had not led me to Lawrenceville, there is no way we would be here today. None of us. None of this would be happening. God went ahead and He prepared the way. I want to tell you this morning, God knows where you are in life. And He knows what you're going through, and He knows what you're facing. And He has already been down the road where you're headed. His footprints are there. All He's doing is asking you to follow Him down that road. He's already been there to prepare the way, and He will never let you down. Maybe you've just come through verse 4 in this psalm, the previous verse, through the very dark valley in life. And now you're standing on the other edge of that valley and you're looking down the long road ahead of you of life, and frankly, it seems bleak, it seems terrifying, and you have no idea what God has in store for you. Friend, listen, God's already been there and He's already prepared the way. Tomorrow is no surprise to God. One of my favorite verses you've heard me quote many times is Psalm 139:16. Take comfort in this. It says, all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them ever came to be. When we can't see around the bend, God can. And He's there preparing the way. David not only says that He prepares a table before him, but look at the rest of that phrase. He says He prepares a table in the presence of my enemies. What an incredible statement. What an out of place word picture, though. He prepares a table for me in the presence of my enemies. I don't know of anybody who's about to be attacked by an enemy who goes, hey, could you guys hang 10 for just a minute? I'm going to eat dinner. Is that okay with you? I mean, it's just completely out of place. And yet with God, it's not out of place at all. Maybe there's something very dark looming in your life right now. And maybe everywhere you look in life, it seems there are enemies looking back at you. And you feel as though you're surrounded on every side by pressures, by unknown, by fear, by enemies of every kind. You need to know that if you're trusting the Lord and you're walking with Him, He is preparing a feast for you, which you can enjoy with Him in the very presence of those enemies. I get this picture in my mind of people sitting in a very expensive, exclusive restaurant, eating this scrumptious dinner. And people outside are sort of pressing their noses against the glass of the window, looking in, going, oh man, look at that feast they're enjoying, but they can't get in. No matter what we're going through in life, no matter what enemies we are surrounded by, we can still feast on the Lord's goodness and on His presence, even in those very, very dark times. Whatever's troubling you, whatever's surrounding you, God will still feed you and nourish you and can give you a spiritual feast even in those times surrounded by your enemies. As a matter of fact, your enemies will look on at your life and see the feast that you're enjoying and they'll begin to drool, wishing they could be a part of that. What is going on in that person's life? Look, I'm a fierce enemy. They should be scared of me. They should be trembling here in my presence, and yet they're enjoying a feast. What's going on? Back in the olden days, they used to have a very cruel torture for their enemies. When they captured enemies and they were getting ready to execute them, they would bring them into this enormous banquet hall where this huge table had been prepared with every kind of food and drink imaginable. And they would bring all these prisoners into this banquet hall, and the prisoners would think, wow, man, what a meal they've prepared for us. But what they would end up doing is chaining those prisoners around the walls of that banquet room, and then their captors would come in and sit at the table and enjoy this feast for hours, eating and drinking and laughing. And these prisoners would have to stand there and they would watch this feast going on, knowing that they were about to die. A friend of mine shared a verse with me on Thursday. I ran into him and he said, man, I got to tell you, Jeremiah 15:11. And he only told me the first half of it. He said, surely I will deliver you for a good purpose, or I will save you for a good purpose. And I said, man, that's a great verse. I went off and I happened to talk to him the next day. He said, Phil, I got to give you the second half of that verse. And little did I know that it tied in exactly with what we were talking about. He said, surely I will make your enemies plead with you in times of disaster and times of distress. You know, that's a picture of walking with God. What happens when there's tragedy and trouble in the world? Where do the godless people turn? They turn to God. Oh, yesterday they didn't want anything to do with Christianity or Jesus or any of that stuff. But when trouble hits, even our enemies run to us for help and for direction in life. We saw that after 9/11. Churches were filled. God can make even our enemies run to us in times of trouble. You know, as I wrap this up, I thought about the fact that there's another way that the Lord has gone ahead of us to prepare the way. I think of the tremendous personal cost that Jesus paid to prepare the way of salvation for us. I wonder how often in the rush of our life we take time to remember what it cost Jesus to prepare the way of salvation for us. He left heaven to come and live on this earth. He was spat upon, he was lied about, he was ridiculed and mocked, he was beaten. And he did all of that, Hebrews 4 tells us, so that he would be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. You see, even in the process of bringing salvation to us, Jesus walked the road ahead of us. So that when we get to those places in life where we're lied about, where we're ridiculed, where we feel pain and rejection, Jesus can say, hey, I've been there. I know exactly how you feel. I know exactly what you're going through. I've already prepared the way. And then Jesus went on from there to Calvary, where he hung on the cross and died for your sins and for mine, so that he could prepare a way for us to be saved. I wonder if there's anybody here this morning who has never accepted that gift of salvation, who is not seated at the Lord's table this morning, feasting with him on his goodness. You know, the picture is exactly the same. Our shepherd wants to take us to the highlands of life. He doesn't want us living down in the humdrum of life. He wants to take us to a higher plane with him and let us feast on his goodness there. He's prepared the way for you, friend. If you're here this morning and you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, you can do that before you leave this place today. You can ask him into your life. Thank him for forgiving your sins and accept him as your Savior. And you can know what it means to feast at his table. For those who have accepted Jesus, there's one final thing that the Lord is preparing for us. And I want to close with this thought. There's one final preparation that he's making for us, even now, even right now. In John chapter 14, Jesus told his disciples who were so troubled, he spoke these beautiful words to them. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, "No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived the things that God has prepared for those who love him." Oh, I wonder, do we know him today? Are we going to be with him in that place that he's preparing for us? When I was a boy, one of my favorite memories, which came back to me as I was preparing this message, was when I would be out in the backyard playing with my friends in the late afternoon. And I remember so many times in that little backyard smelling the beautiful aroma of dinner cooking in the kitchen. And so many times I would stop right in the middle of the game just to breathe that in and go, all right, let me guess and see if I know what that is. Is it spaghetti? Is it roast? Is it chicken? What is it? And my mom was an incredible cook, and she always made these enormous dinners for the family. And I remember as a boy being out there in the yard playing and smelling the wonderful smell of that food coming out of the house. And to me, it was a beautiful picture of belonging somewhere, of knowing that my mom cared enough for me to prepare a table for me. And boy, I knew when I heard, "Philip, it's time for dinner," it was on, man. I was in the house and I was eating some good food. What a great memory as a child to know that my sweet mom loved us enough to prepare a table for us. You know, it's wonderful to know that our good shepherd goes ahead of us to prepare the way for us in this life, but just as wonderful to know that right now he is preparing a place for us in heaven. You know, when I was 17, 18, that didn't mean a whole lot to me. I'm 43. That means more to me every day. We live in a world that is going insane. And every day that passes in my life, I want less and less and less of the things of this world. As they sang about this morning, I spend so much time building castles out of things that won't last. How sweet it is, how comforting it is to know that my Lord is preparing a place for me. And I will be with him one day where I can enjoy his presence forever. I wonder, is he preparing a place for you? Do you know the Savior this morning? If you don't, friend, in these next few minutes as we close this service, you can simply cry out to him from your heart and say, "Lord, I am lost. I need you today, and I don't want to leave this building this morning without making you my Lord and my Savior. Come into my life. Change me. Make me new. Make me your child." You can do that today. Let's pray. Father, I do not really know how we would navigate life on our own. I'm not sure how we would be able to walk the hills and the valleys that we go through without the assurance that you've been ahead of us to prepare the way and to prepare a table for us. And Lord, at times when this life gets heavy and the road ahead seems dark and fearful and unknown, what a joy it is to know that we can look up and we can smell the aroma of heaven, knowing that you are preparing a place for us. And Lord, one day we will eat a feast with you in heaven, the marriage supper of the Lamb. And it's being prepared even now. Thank you, Lord, for that wonderful assurance. Thank you for going ahead of us and for leading us in all the roads that we travel of this life. We love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.